Morning, everyone. Lovely to see you all. It's nice to be home. Isn't it good to be amongst family? And I do see it that way. Greetings from Kingston Community Church. I think it's just awesome that God's people are meeting on two different sides of the city and yet have the same heart and the same desire to see him glorified and his kingdom come. So it's awesome to be here. Just want to send my apologies from my family. We're at the stage and age in our family now where they don't follow me around anymore. I don't think they ever did follow, I think. But they're all busy with the responsibilities at KCC this morning, so my apologies from them. Hey, look, I just want to start by telling you something quite personal. I'm not a very good gardener. Okay? I'm not a very good gardener. I'm a good hack and slasher, but not a very good gardener. For two reasons. I struggle with patience. Do you know how long it takes from preparing the soil to enjoying the produce? It's a long time, eh? I'm not very patient. I think the second thing that I struggle with is I like to be in control. And in gardening, there is so much that's out of my control. Even the weather person can't get it right. And yet I enjoy the grapes and the berries that grow in our garden. I enjoy the lettuce and the broccoli that comes out of our veggie garden. I really enjoy them, but I don't like having to work for them. And I think it can be the same way with discipleship, can't it? Sometimes we struggle to be patient. See, growing into Christ's likeness and seeing others grow is so time and energy consuming, isn't it? And I think the other challenge we have in discipleship is we like to be in control. Or maybe it's just a me thing. But there's so much that's out of control in our lives, isn't there? There is so much around us that is out of control or we have no control over. We can't always control what's happening in us and through us, let alone what's happening in and through other people around us. And so just like gardening can be a real challenge and I don't think I'm very good at it, I think discipleship can be a real challenge and I don't think we're always good at it, are we? And so across this series, you've been considering what it means to be a disciple, being a disciple, what the Bible reveals, what the words and works of Jesus reveal, what it means to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus. So how are you at being a disciple? I just want you to turn to the person next to you. Yeah, don't you hate it when this happens, when the preacher does this? I do, which is why I do it to you. It just gives me a little bit of self. No, anyway. Just share to the person next with you in one sentence. What stood out for you during this series? If you're a visitor, you just get to listen. Okay? But just turn to the person next to you. What has stood out for you in this series? How has God spoken into your head and heart around what are you like at being a disciple? Tell the person next to you. Please be honest. Go for it. Now, I want you to make eye contact with that person you've just been talking to because you can chat with them after our time together. You can carry on your conversation. Sorry to interrupt. I've listened to the four messages previous to this in the series, and I must admit, what strongly came out for me when it comes to what am I, how am I being a disciple? How am I at being a disciple? I realized I'm the problem. I don't know if that's what your response or if you can identify with that, but in listening to the four messages prior, I realize it's not God's problem. I realize I can't even blame the people around me. Ultimately, I think I might be the problem. But also God says, you're part of the solution. And so we're going to this morning unpack this a bit further. Through God's word, through the Bible, we're going to explore what it means when it says being disciples. In this case, we're going to look at being disciples of Jesus. And we're going to emphasize how being a disciple is about worship. Being a disciple is about making disciples. And being a disciple is about growing disciples. If you remember nothing else from this morning, please remember the words be and make. Be and make. Let's turn to Matthew 28, either in your Bibles or on your devices, or if you've memorized it, well, then you're a better person than me. But Matthew 28, verse 16. As you're looking, this is where you'll notice I start doing this. I'm just at that stage where I just need glasses when it's up like this. So now I do this. Matthew 28, verse 16. We're going to read through to verse 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Keep that open. Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you for your word. We want to thank you for the living word, Jesus. And we just pray that this morning you would speak through your word, reveal to us through the living word what it means to be and make disciples. May I not be a hindrance to that, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Everyone is a disciple to or a disciple of something or someone. We all follow something or someone. But God calls us to be disciples of him, followers of him. This should not be a surprise to anyone sitting in a church on a Sunday morning. Disciples of Jesus. And as our passage emphasizes, it's about being a disciple of Jesus. I love verse 16. We just go straight to 18. But in verse 16 it says, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go." As been shared by each of our speakers in the series, a disciple is someone who's a devoted follower of Jesus. Andrew dug deeper into this, clarifying that the devotion to Jesus looks like desiring above everything else to be like Jesus, to become more and more like Jesus. And I love again in that passage where it says Jesus had told them to go. Disciples are followers. Followers need to know where to go. And so first and foremost, the disciples followed and went where Jesus told them to go. And so for us, discipleship, we need to understand is about who are we following? We're all following someone or something. And sometimes for us, I think it's a mixture, isn't it? Who are we following? And the disciples reveal to us it's about who's directing our lives, who's telling us where we're to go. You see, being a disciple of Jesus is to be saved by Jesus, shaped by Jesus, and then follow Jesus. You see, the center of discipleship, and I think this is the hardest part of discipleship, the center of discipleship is not the disciple. It's not you and me. The center of discipleship is the one who you are following. And so the focus of this series has been being a disciple. And I think we can easily understand that to mean I need to be a disciple. Yes, but it's not all about you. First and foremost, at the very core, it's actually not about us. It's about Jesus. It's about the King and his kingdom. It's about the one who we are to follow. It's about who's directing our lives, who's telling us where we're to go. And in the book of Matthew, across all the Gospels, across the whole of God's story, the Bible, discipleship, this following is revealed. And it's all under God's bigger plans and purposes. You see, God's story, garden to city, Eden to new heaven and earth, and everything in between, is all about us. No, it's all about God. Establishing his kingdom, for his kingdom people, for his glory. And this is possible because God came among us in the person of Jesus. See, it all culminates in Jesus, doesn't it? And so I might be prattling on here and you're thinking, yeah, but I know this. But we've got poor memories, haven't we? It's all about Jesus. He's the one we are to follow, to be directed by, to be told what to do by. I'm a good husband. I do exactly as my wife tells me. Some of you are shaking your heads, and you would be right. We get told what to do by lots of different angles and areas and peoples, don't we? But to be a disciple of Jesus means our ultimate direction, our ultimate purpose and reason for being around is to do as he tells us. It's about Jesus sent by the Father and empowered by the Spirit. And as Andrew shared with us, it's about complete allegiance to Jesus is the only way. Complete allegiance. Not some allegiance, not temporary allegiance, not Sunday allegiance. It's complete allegiance. So whose direction are you under? We're all following something or someone. So whose direction are you under? And to follow Jesus means that everything else comes secondary or under the following of him. For many of us, I think we are gardeners like disciples, like I'm a gardener. We show limited patience, or we try and be controlled. Have you ever noticed that we spend a lot of time telling ourselves what to do? It's as if I'm following myself. Does that sound weird to you? And yet, isn't that what we do? So what is limited patience or trying to be in control? What might it look like? Well, I think first and foremost, I think for some of us, we follow ideologies or theological frameworks and we brand them with Jesus. But in reality, it's actually about us having control and not waiting for God's timing. Now, ideologies and theological frameworks can be around all sorts of things like race, gender, marriage, crime rates, environmental perspectives, end times, the list goes on. You name it, we have an ideological framework for it or a theological framework for it. There's nothing wrong with having these. We must understand how the word speaks. There's nothing wrong with having ideological or theological perspectives on things. The Bible does. But when they challenge the place Jesus has in our lives, when they shape the nature of the gospel we share, or even interrupt us sharing the gospel, when they become the highest influence in our lives, when they become the primary lens we look at everything else through, well, then they influence our allegiance and loyalty to Jesus. I think another example is the humanity's pattern, and we see it across biblical and world history. This pattern of following people. We elevate people, we elevate their opinion, their influence, their position, and we become followers of them. Again, there are some very godly people who God uses to influence our lives, but they're not Jesus. They're not the way, the truth, and they can't bring life. And I appreciate the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians 3:21. So then, and it's really plain, you won't miss this. So then, no more boasting about human leaders. We don't lift them up. Because to be a disciple of Jesus means we lift Jesus up. He's the only one who we ultimately listen to. Let's rather boast in Christ. And I think as AJ showed us through Ephesians 1 and 2, let's boast about all we've been blessed with in Christ. I don't know about you, I struggled to get the list down as I was writing. So whose direction are you under? Or what are you following? These are big questions, but important questions. Because being a disciple is all about Jesus, the one we are to follow, the one we're to be directed by. And we're told by Jesus, sent by the Father, empowered by the Spirit, that it's about complete allegiance to him, because he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. And from this flows worship. You see, being a disciple of Jesus is about worship. In Matthew 17, when they saw him, they worshipped him. Again, we tend to skip 16 and 17 and just go straight to 18, don't we? But there's this beautiful, beautiful foundation laid. You see, we worship what we follow. We worship where our allegiance is. And it's our entire being that we worship with. You see, what we love is what we worship with our entire being. Mark 12:30 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. It's our whole being that we are to love and worship with. We're not just what is seen on the outside, but we are created heart, soul, mind, and body. And therefore, worship is whole life, whole being. That makes me nervous. Because for someone who likes to be in control, I like to control what people see. I like to control what people see. See, it's not just about the songs we sing. That's not worship as such in itself. It's the desires of the heart. It's the allegiance of our soul. It's the thoughts of our minds and the actions of our body. They can't be separated. As the Proverbs tells us, what comes out of your mouth comes from a deep place. And so they can't be separated, and they reflect who or what we follow. So for the disciples, we could say, great, they worshipped. They must have had a church service. But if we look back, if we consider what it meant for the disciples to worship, worship for the disciples looked like going where Jesus said for them to go. Worship was doing what they didn't always understand why they had to do it. I don't know about you, but if I was given 5 loaves, you know, and a couple of fish and said, now go feed all them, I'm not sure I'd follow someone who said that to me. I'd have words with someone who said that to me, or an opinion about someone who had. But their worship was they did things they didn't always understand why they were doing them. Worship for the disciples looked like having their very hearts and desires revealed and then reshaped by Jesus. Worship for the disciples looked like giving Jesus credit for the work he'd done. Worship for the disciples looked like sharing Jesus' words. Worship for the disciples looked like responding to being ignored, ridiculed, and challenged the right way, not the wrong way. And so much more. We can look across the Gospels. We can look across the letters and see the different ways. Particularly in the book of Acts, I think we see wonderful expressions of worship that are whole being. It dawned on me one Sunday many years ago that we, and I always say we, but to be honest, I, seem to repeatedly use the phrase during our Sunday services, now let's move into a time of worship. And then we'd have songs and prayers and mini sermons. I'm quite old, so I remember back in the day. And yet, hadn't we been worshipping all week? In the ways we act and spoke across our days during the week, was that not worship? Hadn't we been worshipping as we walked into the service and interacted with one another? Is that not worship? Hadn't we been worshipping as we both heard and internally responded to the word of God as it was shared? Is that not worship? Are we not 24/7 worshippers? Now, let's just clarify quickly. The disciples weren't perfect worshippers. Verse 17, but some doubted. I love that. They worshipped him, but some doubted. That's us, isn't it? We're not perfect worshippers. Not yet anyway. It will take Jesus to come again for that to happen. But still, we are ever growing and increasingly worshippers, 24/7 worshippers. That's discipleship. Growing as worshippers. You see, worship is the desires of the heart, the allegiances of our souls, the thoughts of our minds and the actions of our body. It's so much more than singing songs. It's so much more than praying. It's where that comes from. It's what influence that has on the things we say and do. It's our entire being that we worship with. And that's what we love. Oh, and it's what we love that we worship with our entire being. So for the disciples, that was Jesus. So being a disciple of Jesus is to worship Jesus. So what do you worship? I have to be 100% honest. We'll go back to singing because I like to think I can sing. Others have mixed views on that. When I'm singing in worship or singing a song with the church family, sometimes I think about, I wonder how I sound. Now, I've got another friend of mine at church family who would very honestly admit he's not a singer, and he thinks the same thing. I wonder what I sound like. What's that doing to my worship? Who am I making the centre? Who's he making the centre? Me. It's not about what I sound like. It's not about what he sounds like. It's about why am I singing? To who am I singing? For what reason am I singing? So what do you worship? You want to work out what you worship? Take a piece of paper. Jot down what you spend your time on in a week. That'll give you a hint about what you worship. Sit down with a bit of paper. Jot down what gets you excited. Like, when do you really, you know, the expressions change? What gets the heart palpitations going? That'll tell you what you worship. Take down a bit of paper and write down, when you get in tough times, where do you go? That'll tell you what you worship. A disciple worships Jesus. On our process towards maturity, and I emphasize that it's a process to maturity, never call yourself a mature Christian. Call yourself a maturing Christian, because we don't get there till Jesus comes again. On the process towards maturity, being more and more like Jesus, it needs to be a maturity that will only reach when he comes again, but it will emphasize that maturity is emphasized in what we worship. Being a disciple is all about Jesus, the one we are to follow, the one we are to worship. And from this flows the opportunity to share in making disciples. You see, being a disciple of Jesus is about making disciples. Now we get into verse 19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes I feel for the disciples. It was a pretty hard road for them, wasn't it? But let's look at it from another angle. The disciples have been traveling around the countryside with Jesus for a number of years. They've experienced his death, burial, and resurrection, and all the emotional and physical and relational turmoil that comes with that. During the time they've been with him, they've seen and heard him calling people with the power of his words and the power of his works. In the time that they've been with him, they've seen him calling them first to faith, to repent, believe, and follow, and to seeing him calling others to faith. And now he says to them, go. Go do the same. How do you think you'd respond if Jesus said that to you? I'm pleased he said it to the disciples. The challenge of this passage is he is saying it to us, isn't he? He's calling, but this is the important thing. He's calling on them simply to share what they've already experienced. He's not asking them to make up anything new. He's not even asking them to go and do something beyond what he's done. You see, the disciples have benefited from the free gift of repentance and belief in order that they could follow Jesus. They've already experienced the messenger and the message, and they've believed. And now they're to take up the call of discipleship and share that message that they've already heard. And the privilege for them is they'd already met the messenger. And now to share that with others. You see, they'd already been living under the example of Jesus. They were discipled by the King of Kings. The disciples have had the benefit of the gift of the example of Jesus to follow. And now they're to take up the call of discipleship and be an example to others by pointing to the example of Jesus. You see, the call to discipleship at its very core is going and sharing what you've already experienced. Who here feels inadequate? I'm going to put my hand up. The cool thing is, yeah, we are. But we're not. Because he doesn't call on us to be Jesus. There's only one Jesus. He simply calls on us to share what we've already experienced. You've received salvation, so now share the message of salvation with others. You've lived in and under the example of Jesus through his word and in a church family that love his word and love Jesus. Now be an example to others, pointing to Jesus' example. It's as simple as sharing what you've already experienced and what you are experiencing. There are 100 million books out there on steps to sharing your faith. And I think they, in many ways, can be very helpful books. But Jesus just simply said, go. Why? Because you've already got it. You actually have in you, Ephesians 1 and 2, you already have with you everything you need. Go. Now, this is daunting, isn't it? I get terrified. I mean, I get paid to as my oldest boy says, I work for Jesus. Not really how we all work for Jesus, those who are believers as disciples, but I get paid to do this. So it must be really, I get freaked out too, eh? It's daunting, isn't it? What if I say the wrong thing? What if they're not interested? What if they won't like me? What if I lose that friendship? What, and this is my biggest fear, what if they do believe and then fall away? Did I do it wrong? It's daunting. And it would have been for the disciples. It is for us, but let's just check on the backing they get. Verse 18, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Now go. The disciples, and we as disciples, go with the backing, the provision, the message, the means of Jesus, not just behind us, but in us and through us. That's pretty good, eh? See, that's where the control thing comes in. We think we have to make disciples. No, we just have to be a vessel available for the one who is truly making disciples, Jesus. I think, again, AJ gave us a great rundown from Ephesians about the blessings we have. And we don't have to earn those. We don't have to negotiate those. We have those. They're ours. We just need to be obedient and go. We have power in Christ. We have the tools of God's work in our own lives, the good news that we're saved by and growing into. And as Nevin shared, we also have the Word of God. It's a central tool in pointing to people to Jesus. We kind of have everything we need, don't we? What does it need? It just needs the obedience of a disciple. Go. Imagine if Peter, after Jesus had said, go, and then ascended, and Peter goes, yeah, let's give it a week. I'll see how I feel about it in a week. Or maybe what some of us do, which is, yep, no, I need to go. I'm not sure he's given me clarity on where, though. I think I'll just wait and see where. Or maybe like some of us do, Peter had said, yeah, no, he said go, and I'm going to encourage everyone to go. I'm going to encourage everyone to go. What does it need? Just simple obedience, the obedience of a disciple. Go. You see, going and making disciple is a continual choice of will. And that choice is between my will and Jesus' will. A continual intentionality to invest relationally in people's lives who God brings in front of us. Do you want to know where to go? I love how God makes it really easy for us. See, we often think the go is about some major distance. Like for me, I remember that this passage was always used to get people to become missionaries overseas. So I heard this passage when I was younger, always when a missionary came and preached. And so I thought I had to go. And yet this is not a missionary passage for overseas. This is a missional passage for every believer. And so Jesus makes it really, really easy. He just said, it's about who's in front of you right now. See, going doesn't require us even to take steps sometimes. Going might be who we actually have standing right in front of us. As a parent, my first go is my children. I don't have to go very far for that. For me, going is the places I go to all the time and interact with people and engage with people. Often it's just about seeing who God's already put into your life that needs to hear the good news. It's about seeing our neighbour. So where's God showing you to go? I'll give you a hint. It's already there, and you're probably already there. But where's he showing you where to go? The core to disciple making is at its very core, going and sharing what you've already experienced. As I said, you've received salvation. Let's share the message of salvation with others. You're living in and under the example of Jesus. Now be an example to others by pointing to Jesus as example. It's simple as sharing what you've already experienced and what you already are experiencing. So being a disciple is all about Jesus. He's the one we're to follow. We all go, yep. From that should flow worship, shouldn't it? That's our whole being, our whole life. And then we need to be sharing it with people that God brings into our lives. And then from this flows the opportunity to share in growing disciples. This is where it gets really exciting. In Matthew 28:20, it says, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. You see, discipleship is not a one-off event. Discipleship is not a one-off event, salvation. It's a multiplying process, and salvation is a part of it. Jesus is not about making converts. He's about making disciples. There's a very big difference. A community, a family of disciples is what Jesus is about. Not just ticking off, I've got another one on the list. Discipleship is the whole process of reaching the lost with the gospel, then growing people in their intimacy and walk with Christ, and then equipping people in service and multiplication. It's about growing followers who are equipped, who serve, and who become part of God's multiplying kingdom culture. My frustration, again, as I said before, is we often use Matthew 28 historically as a call to become missionaries, to go overseas. But this is a call to all believers to be part of being and making disciples. It's what we do because of who we are now in Christ. To be part of God's mission, Jesus' ongoing work in bringing about his kingdom for his kingdom people. It applies to us all. So I look back on my life and I see the people who God has used in my life. People who have multiplied in me. Actually, one of them is they're having a memorial service in America for him just right now. Actually, it's on Zoom. Who was my youth pastor when I was 15 and who God used greatly to draw me into understanding what it meant to be a disciple. But see, I had people who multiplied an understanding and experience that people mattered to God and therefore they need to matter to me. I had people who multiplied into my life a love for the Word of God. I have people who invested into my life and multiplied in me a love for the family of God. I'm not doing it on my own. I have people who multiplied into my life a desire to be changed and transformed continually. Continually. I'm not there yet, and that's a good thing. But wait, there's more. They grew and multiplied in me a hope and experience that people can actually change. I still don't get why our youth pastor, I won't say how many years ago, when I was 15, said, I want you to be part of our youth leadership team. I still don't get why he chose me. I was a rat bag. I would have been the last person to choose. But they grew in me, and people continually grew in me in understanding that people can change. God changes people. And they grew in me a love for what God loves and how to wrestle with the things that challenge that first love. I remember one of them saying to me once, a lovely wise man said to me once, it's okay to wrestle with God, but just know he'll win. Wise words, eh? But they didn't just say it, they lived it. And they grew in me and multiplied in me a love for the gospel that is saving, that saves, is saving, and will save all those who believe. See, God didn't just use them to shape me in biblical knowledge, filling my mind with stuff. He used them to shape me and my whole being, my heart, my soul, my mind, and therefore what came out of that. The desires of my heart, the allegiance of my soul, the thoughts of my mind, and the actions of my body. And so I've grown. Not maybe as much as God would like me to have, but I've grown. And now the same desire has grown in me to see others multiplied in this. I want them to have a little bit of what I've had. Not because it's mine, but because it's so important. And as Nevin unpacked with you guys, and everyone needs a Paul in their lives, but also everyone needs a Timothy in their lives. This mutual. And I love Paul in Romans 1 where he says to them, I really want to come and see you in Rome. And you think, of course he wants to see them. He says, I want to impart with you some wonderful, some important stuff. You think, yeah, he wants to preach the snot out of them, like just go hard at them. And then he says, for our mutual edification, meaning we both get something from it. Isn't that awesome? Even Paul is being a Timothy. See, what we don't want is a whole lot more Pauls running around, do we? We don't want a whole lot more Timothys running around, and we definitely don't want a whole lot more Kerrys running around. That would be terrifying. Because discipleship multiplies Christ followers, not us followers, eh? We want more Jesus followers running around. So what are you multiplying? Or who is part of multiplying you? What are you multiplying and who is part of multiplying you? I think the hardest question my oldest boy ever asked me. He started it with a statement and then followed with a question. And he said to me, "Of course I believe in God. How can I not believe in God with everything I've experienced in my life? But where is that God?" Wow. And I realize as a father, pat answers don't work, eh? And so comes the journey of discipleship. Understanding why he said that. Understanding where he's at and what's going on in his head and heart. Understanding how Jesus would have answered that question. Straight away, I go to the woman at the well. She's trying to play the race card, Samaritan versus Jew. And Jesus is saying, living water. Living water. And that's what it means to be a disciple. To journey with people through when we don't even have the answer, but know God does. To be able to journey through, not to make lots of little us's, but to point people to Jesus so they're more of his disciples running around. Look, I think you guys are doing an awesome series. Hopefully it's a series that has shifted each of you and called on you to respond in a way that's uncomfortable, but exciting. So how are you at being a disciple? How are you at being a disciple? Because everyone is being a disciple. But a disciple of who or what? God calls us to be disciples of Jesus, desiring above everything else to be like Jesus, to become more and more like Jesus, and to be part of helping others become more and more like Jesus, first by finding Christ and then growing into Christ's likeness. So how are you at being a disciple? Because being a disciple of Jesus is to be saved by Jesus, shaped by Jesus, and then to follow Jesus and point others to Jesus. It's about worshiping Jesus. It's about making disciples and growing disciples of Jesus. What's the two words I wanted you to remember if you forget everything else? Be, make. You cannot separate them. To be a disciple is to make disciples. So how are we at being disciples? Let's pray. Father, we come to you with mixed emotions, I'm sure. I do, Lord, knowing that I really want to be a fully allegiant, wholehearted disciple of yours, but acknowledging my shortcomings, my doubts, my self issues. So, Lord, I pray this morning through your word that you would help us to grow as worshippers of you in our very core of our being. Grow in us a deep desire to see others meet you and know you and come to walk with you. And grow in us the desire to journey along with people as they take on that faith journey, because it's hard. And we know that because our lives haven't been easy. But Lord, I pray you grow in us a humility to do that under you and under all that you give us, not in our own strength. Lord, may this be a church family that are being disciples and are making disciples. We ask this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.